Anyway, today I want to take us on a little bit of a journey. We're going to unpack some scripture, and hopefully it'll give us some fresh perspective, helping us to know Jesus more and fall in love with him. Sound good?
Amen.
Okay, we're going to dive in. So the title of my sermon this morning is, His Mercies Are New Every Morning. Yeah. Yes, amen. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So there's a very real sense in this verse of God's enduring love and constant mercies that are not only new every morning, but new every moment for us, right? His love never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. How refreshing is that? To know that the King of Kings' love for you is resolute and unwavering, and that there's nothing that we can do to change how he feels about us is absolutely life-changing. Jesus literally laid down his life for you because he loved you so much. It's incredible. His mercy... Let's just rest on that for a minute, right? Like, I could probably just quit right there. His mercies never come to an end. Have you ever sat down to think about what his mercy really means for us or to us? He chose to show his compassion and forgive us, especially when it is within his right to punish us. I mean, think about it. God can have no part of sin, none. Our sin separates us from him completely. We are a sinful people. There's not one of us who's righteous, not one. And that is what's required to commune with the Father. Absolute perfection, pure, spotless, without sin. And thankfully, through faith in Christ, we become righteous. So his righteousness is imputed to us. It's credited to us, and we don't deserve it. In fact, we deserve his just punishment, don't we? We're dirty, rotten sinners, each and every one of us. We're born into it, and we live in it daily. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing, we as individuals can do to be free from it. But there's good news. Because of his mercy, we are set free from the bondages of sin. Do I need to say that again? Because of his mercy, we're set free from the bondages of sin. How exciting is that? Yes. Because of his great mercy, we have life. Because of his mercies, we are being made holy. Hebrews says, "For by a single offering, he has made perfect for all time those being sanctified." Jesus is declaring us holy. He is sanctifying us. We are set apart from his just punishment and justified. We're declared innocent. Because of his mercies that will never come to an end, and they are new every morning. How often do we read scriptures like this one and think we've understood it? We can reason through it easy enough, right? But we often fail to or forget that it applies to us. It applies to our lives personally and to our situations specifically. We are so deceived by self or by the enemy that we've believed the lies and we confuse ourselves. This doesn't apply to me. His mercies aren't for me, right? I'm too messed up. I've heard that from different people, and I've thought that. I don't deserve his mercy. I'm insignificant. I've thought those things. But let me tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. If you can relate to that, stop. It's not true. It's not who you are. We need to remember that his power, God's power, is now ours through Christ. Ephesians 1:19 says, "And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might?" His power is working toward us. according to his great might. So if his word says that his steadfast love never ceases and his mercies are new every morning, we can trust in that, right? We can know that it applies to your life. It applies to my life. It applies to us. His word applies to us. Even though we don't deserve it, it's there for us. His mercy, his steadfast love is there for us. His faithfulness is an inherent characteristic of who he is. And when God says he's going to do something or show something towards us, he does it. Even if it doesn't seem possible. His word is yes and amen. Those are promises that we can count on. He is faithful and trustworthy. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. And that is why through him we utter our amen to God for his glory. So we can know that his mercies are new every morning. And that this is a promise that he makes. They will never come to an end. And we can hope in him because his faithfulness is great. He is trustworthy beyond everything. And I'm going to read this again. The Lamentations 3:22 and 23. I want to read it again because, well, one, I told you we're going to be unpacking it. But two, I also believe that this is one of the main things God wants to speak to us today, and that we've just barely touched on it, okay? So, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Why are they new every morning? Why is that important? For those of you that have read through Lamentations, you know that this is one of the high points of this book, right? He's a bit of a whiner, but the whole thing is obviously lamenting. He's going through. But this is definitely the high point of the book. But what is the significance of being new every morning? And with my second point, we're going to find out. So here it is. Jesus has given us enough to face today. As most of you know, I'm a business owner in town. My company does IT support for small to medium business. We also do contracting to some big business in town. And sometimes it can be very stressful, overwhelming, to be honest. This last year, we've run into some major staffing issues. We were 9, and some of the guys left for management jobs. One got fired, and another completely changed his career. So it's been crazy, to say the least. Even the guys that we've brought in to hire have not turned out. One should have been wearing a tinfoil hat, and I'm not saying anything mean. but then he slandered us all over town, unfortunately, and I actually had to get a lawyer involved. Another came for about 9 days and realized he couldn't take the stress of the job and left. So we've spent a lot of money trying to hire. but through all of this, my workload hasn't changed at all. Not a bit. We haven't lost a single client. So we were a team of 9. We had 7 senior technicians, 2 office admin staff, and one of those is my smoking hot wife. And currently there are 5 of us in the office. We have 3 senior technicians, 1 junior. I feel like this is a Christmas song, right? 1 junior, 2 office admin, and my smoking hot wife. What's that one? How does it go? That's it. 12 days of Christmas. So what that means is that there are really 2 of us doing the work of 6 guys. So Tom and myself do the work of 6 people, literally. The one other senior tech does a lot, but I can't expect him to do what a business owner does. It just isn't possible. Our junior tech is great. He but he needs training and he needs help. So as you can imagine, the pressure of my job is intense. We have contractual obligations that if we don't meet, we can be sued or lose contracts. Hopefully the losing of contracts is the only one that happens if it gets there. But the truth is, we still have clients that continue to call daily. We have a wait list of people that want our services. In fact, some of them have been like, just increase your weights and take us on. So it's great to be in this place where God is blessing us. That's my day job. That's my day job. So while I love what I do, my passion and my life lies in what I do when I'm not at the office. My passion is here, in this house with you, my family. My heart is to do my Father's business. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that my job, there's a portion of that. Like, I can be about my Father's business in my work. But the whole reason I got into business for myself was to be flexible so that I could serve in the body. So I could serve the body of Christ. So I could choose when I went to work and when I was here. But that's not really working. So anybody who's in business can relate to that. Anyway, as you can imagine, this last year, my time and attentions have been pulled in many different directions. My work, and as many of you know, my responsibilities here have increased. We've been helping Tim and Mike with whatever we can, wherever we're needed. So a typical day for me starts at around 10 a.m. Now, I know you old timers like to get up early, but that's just weird. I go to bed when you get up. So I start around 10, and I don't finish until, I don't know, 1 or 2, babe? Sound right? Sometimes later. And thankfully, some of that is downtime, but most of it is busy. Most of it is jam-packed full of things. Either I'm processing what happened from the day, catching up on email, or I'm prepping or reading or studying because I'm preaching either here or at youth, or I've got a meeting. And then to top everything off, I'm a bit of an insomniac, and I don't sleep. I've always been a night owl, but I was averaging about an hour a night, and now, thank God, I'm averaging 4, so I can survive. But there's still one thing that I haven't touched on. That smoking hot wife I was telling you about earlier, well, we have a couple of awesome kids, and they need my time, they may need my attention, they need me affections, and my love. And really, my list could just keep going. That's just the surface of things, okay? Life, but my point is this. Life can be overwhelming. Life can seem out of control. I can stress to no end about what's going on and what's not getting done because my list is miles long. And I'm sure you can relate to this in one way or another, right? Our schedules get full to the point of breaking, especially when we think about what we have to do tomorrow. And we start to worry about that as well as what we're doing today. Well, I have good news. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. Scripture is pretty clear about that, isn't it? Matthew 6:34 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." There's so much wisdom in that. I love it. So if his mercies are new every morning, and he's telling us not to worry about tomorrow, why do we constantly bombard ourselves with tomorrow? Why do I worry about this massive list that is coming down the pipe? Why do I overwhelm myself with the things that I have to do? Or things that haven't gotten done. 1 Peter 5:6-7. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." We often let our busy schedules and the burdens of life get us down, And like I said, sometimes I do that. Sometimes I allow myself to be overwhelmed with what I have to do. But I'm often brought back down and reminded that I can remain in Him. He has a plan for my life. His mercies are new every morning. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." Philippians 4:6-7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So, the last time I preached, we learned that peace is who Jesus is, right? He's not just something that He imparts on us. He's not just something we experience, but that is who He is. So if the peace of God, Jesus Christ, is with us, then why are we anxious for tomorrow? If His mercies are new every day and His peace is upon us, why are we anxious for tomorrow? It's great to prepare. And in fact, I think we should be prepared for what's coming. But to carry the burden for tomorrow is not our responsibility. Today, we walk in today. Today, we face whatever giants are in our way. And tomorrow, His mercies are new. Tomorrow, He will sustain and hold us in His hand all over again. So we don't have to stress about tomorrow, right? We must not compound today's issues with worrying about tomorrow's problems. We won't face tomorrow with the same burdens we are today. When the tank is empty, it's okay, because tomorrow His mercies are new. Tomorrow He will give you the manna you need for tomorrow. He won't ask us to live off of yesterday's strength. Tomorrow, He will not give you anything beyond what you can carry. So this one was particularly interesting, because I've read this verse and understood it one way, and I think it is both, but 1 Corinthians 10:13. So before I read it, I'm going to tell you the Greek word is pirazo, is that right? That's it, thank you, parousio. It means to test or trial, to make proof or to attempt. So 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has taken you or overtaken you that is not common to man." So I've always read that as the temptations that we face, which it's true, but it also means that no test that we face is going to overtake us, right? It's the same Greek word for temptation and test. So God is faithful. He will not let you be tested beyond your ability or tempted. But with that test or that temptation, He will also provide a way to escape so that you may be able to endure it. So there's no test that we will face that will overtake us. None. God has faced all the same things we are today. He remains faithful through all of it. He has given us the tools we need to make it through today, and it's with His help that we can overcome it. So, bad as things are, it's because of God's mercies that they're not worse. We need to be aware of what is for us, as well as what is against us. How often do we fall into a "if only" or "what if" mentality? How often do you find yourself saying "if only" or "what if"? How often do we find ourselves focusing on the negative? On the utterly overwhelming fact that our lists never seem to end. How can we trust when we have this type of thought pattern ravaging our hearts and minds? Dare I say that those are not God's thoughts for your life? What if is not God's thought for your life? It's not. There's no point in going there. If God has a hope and a plan for your future, for your life, don't you think that he will also give you what you need to make through? The Bible is clear. Tomorrow his mercies are new. God is with us through Christ. And by the Spirit, his promises for new mercies are as real and trustworthy today as they were yesterday. So let's go to him often. Let's cast our cares honestly to him. Let's trust him for the peace that far surpasses our limited understanding and guards our hearts and minds in Christ. Like I said, it is okay to plan for tomorrow, and we should, but we don't have to worry. Right? The truth is, we can't kill our anxieties or our fears with well-planned to-do lists or schedules, but it's exactly what we try to do, isn't it? In him, every supply is met. In him, our every supply is met. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians 9, 8-11. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed, sounds funny, freely. He has given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." Why do we worry ourselves with the things of tomorrow if he promises to meet our every need? Yes, things will be difficult, but he's always there. He's always walking beside you, and things could be so much worse without him. Yet we still continue to be blinded and can't see past our own circumstances. God never meant for us to carry that load. It was always in his plan to be our sufficiency and strength. Anxiety comes when we try to take on our circumstances in our own ability. But faith comes when we look at those same circumstances and realize it's only through God's ability. Which one would you prefer? And yet, we still continue to look at ourselves and try to accomplish what we're not meant to. Seems crazy to me, right? We often complicate things when the answer is right in front of us, don't we? Thankfully, Father knows that this is a process and a habit in us that needs to be changed. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Ephesians 4:22 and 24, "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on your new self, the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It may seem daunting or impossible, but this too can be changed by God. We don't have to be like Israel wandering the desert. We can lay down our lives to his will. We can choose to follow him, and we can hear his word for our lives. we can allow our Heavenly Father to mold and change our hearts. Amen? We so often let our schedules fill up without making time for what is really important. Yeah. You had to know I was going to go here. I told you that this is my heart's cry. If His mercies are good enough for today, we don't have to worry about trying to get ahead of the game. So often we get caught in the rat race of life we try to accomplish one more thing on our list so tomorrow isn't so heavy. But the one thing that needs to be on the top of our list gets pushed further and further down until we finally say, tomorrow, Lord. Tomorrow I'll spend time with You. We all know relationships take work. And to know Jesus is no different. We need to take time to get to know Him. We need to take time to get to know His truths. His word. That is what carries us through all of our circumstances, all of our worries. To know Jesus is our greatest pursuit. There is nothing more important in all of what we do than that. He shouldn't be bumped down to the bottom of the list. He needs to be at the top, at the middle, at the bottom, and all over. Right? He is the reason we do everything we do. Psalm 41, 1 and 2 says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for You. Oh God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. We have this desire in us only because it is given to us by God to pursue Him. And the great thing is, we can do so in confidence, knowing we are firmly in His hand. Don't let the worries of tomorrow overwhelm you. Know that His mercies are given to you for today, and today, or in tomorrow, they will be new. Amen?
That's a super good word. Chris always feels nervous that he's not good enough, but this guy's got the goods. Ruth just passed this little note to me, and this was, those of you that know me know that I have anxiety issues, and but Leah, she liked quotes, so she wrote me this like thing of quotes when I was going through a really hard time, but one of the quotes is just like right in line with what Chris was talking about, and it's not a quote from the Bible, unfortunately, it's from Charlie Brown, which is somewhat spiritual, I think, too. But so Charlie Brown said to Snoopy, but just as I was reading it, I felt like it could be God saying it to us. And it's the quote is, are you upset, little friend? Have you been lying awake worrying? Well, don't worry, I'm here. The floodwaters will recede. The famine will end. The sun will shine tomorrow. And I will always be here to take care of you. So just thought that was cool how it, yeah.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.